But right now we're going to be talking about what it's like to be young in this community, being a gay or lesbian person. For some of us who are older, it was very tough when we were younger. It was very tough because we didn't know other gay and lesbian people out there. We didn't know there was other people like us. It was very tough because we didn't have groups like Hippie or Hatch, or even things like the switchboard that you were able to call up or able to pick up the newspaper and see, oh, there was 10,000, 20,000 people marching down in Montrose that weekend. Or even the fact that now, not to say that the job is over with or that we're completely there, that basically it was a positive that we were down there. I was very impressed over the coverage of the parade in the fact that they just talked about people out in the crowd. And those people said things like, yes, we're here, we're having a celebration, we're having a wonderful time. But it's not all wonderful time. We know we have problems. And there's a lot of problems, just problems in growing up, whether you're gay or lesbian. Also, the fact that the teenage suicide rate for gay and lesbian people is like three times the average of non-gay and lesbian people. And the mere fact that that fact was covered up by the previous administration, that they didn't even let that out. But let's listen to from their perspective. Alma and Ricky are here from Hatch, which is the Houston Area Teenage Coalition for Homosexuals. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here and an honor to be invited.
Ricky, how are you tonight? How does it feel to be a young person?
It's tough, especially if you're gay. But I think a lot of us at Hatch, I think the Pride Parade did a lot for us to boost our energy and to boost our self-esteem up a little bit. It helps a lot to know that a lot of other gay people out there, whether they're your age or not.
You had your own contingent there during the parade. And I noticed, the crowds were just really cheering you on. And how did that make you feel?
That made us feel great. I think we had a pretty good turnout, our marching contingency. And I think there were a lot of people at Hatch that went to the parade that didn't march, and that was okay too, but they were there. We got a pretty good response. We got a great response last year as well, and I think Hatch is an organization the community can be proud of in terms of what it's done to help gay and lesbian youth.
How did you find Hatch?
I found Hatch through the Gay and Lesbian Student Association at U of H. I think when Hatch was starting about 2 years ago, about two or three of its members went and they made a presentation to our organization at U of H and let us know that it was there. And that's how I found out about it.
Alma?
I think I read about it in the wand. The number for Hatch was there. And I just called up, and basically that was how I got there, although it wasn't all that easy. For me to get the wand, first I had to read the Houston Press and find that Inklings existed, which was a thrill to me because I knew nothing about the community then, and then go to Inklings and then pick up the wand. So it wasn't like I just kind of stepped into it. It took a while for me to find it, but I'm glad I did.
How old are you, Alma?
I'm 21.
And have you been gay for...
I've been gay since I was 16, a sophomore in high school.
Were you in high school here in Houston?
No, I went to high school. I'm Salvadoran, and I went to a Catholic Jesuit school.
Wait, Jewish, Catholic, wait a minute. It sounds like material for a routine here. It's really leading me to the question about young people, even younger than yourselves, high school students. Who do you have members in Hatch that are still in high school?
Oh, most of our members are still in high school from every district around Houston, and although I didn't go to high school here, I didn't graduate from high school in the United States. I did. I was a couple of times for a short period of time in high school here, and one of the things that strikes me the most is that you can walk into any counselor's office. And you can pick up a brochure about AIDS. You can pick up a brochure about teenage pregnancy. You can pick up a brochure about anything except being gay. And it was like, I was in a desperate need to talk to someone, and nobody seemed to offer me the information, that was very frustrating. I grew up, I went to a library and looked for every possible book, and most of them were psychology books, which weren't helping me out very much. And it was very frustrating, very, very frustrating, especially now that I know the amount of literature that is out there, and it's just not available if you're in high school.
Mm-hmm. What do y'all do to reach out to young gay and lesbian people in this community?
I think one of the things is a lot of the members of Hatch have come to Hatch through word of mouth. And it's strange because I grew up in South Houston, and I used to think there's no one gay in the South Houston Pasadena area except me. And a few members that I've met at Hatch are going to as school in that area or have, and that's interesting because you don't really associate, I guess, whatever part of town you're in or grew up in, you don't associate many people around there as being gay, I guess, because when you're younger, you closet yourself. And I think shows like this are what helps get the word out, because I know when I was in high school, I used to listen to After Hours, and I had a little alarm clock radio, and I would put it underneath my pillow and sleep or pretend I was sleeping and listen to it because I was afraid my parents would hear it in the next room.
How did you even know After Hours was on?
I found it driving home from a club. I guess it was a Saturday night, it had to have been. And that's how I found out about After Hours, and I would frequent a lot of straight clubs with my friends, and I would make it a point to leave early so I could listen After Hours on the way home, and then After Hours when I got there.
What was it like with your family? Are you open with your family?
Yeah, I told my mother this past December, and my dad is known. They both found out at the same time. I guess they found out that I was gay. Because they found some gay literature, and it was funny because my dad, the literature said homosexual on it, and my dad, who speaks very little English, said, "What does this mean?" And homosexual is the same word in Spanish and English, and so that was kind of interesting. And so they know that I'm gay. My mom and I talk about it and discuss it, and they just she's always asking me how Brad, my boyfriend, is, how he's doing, and he goes over a lot, and we do a lot of family things together. My dad, we don't discuss it, but he's accepting of it.
Alma, what about you?
It's interesting because I also told my mother during Christmas time. It was her Christmas present for me. And it was like, "I'm gay, would you please pass the turkey?" And my father has known.
Did she pass the turkey?
No, she should have. She just kind of sat there for a while and looked at me weird. It's like, and my dad has known for longer than that, for about 2 years now. And the rest of my family knows. And my dad is kind of having a hard time with it, especially because I live with him. And, I'm gay, I'm a lesbian, on just as long as I'm not in the house. You know, he doesn't say I should or shouldn't do certain things. It's just that it's not something that's talked about. It's not something that's acknowledged at all from my father. My mother's kind of okay with it, but we don't really talk to each other. We don't really see each other. So that's kind of, you know, I guess that has something to do with it.
We're speaking to Alma and Ricky, who are with Hatch, Houston Area Teen Coalition of Homosexuals. And what happens at your gatherings? Is it a social gathering? Is it a service organization?
It's a little of both. Most of all, we like to think of ourselves as a support group for teenage gay and lesbians. We meet on Friday and Sunday nights, and usually our Friday meeting, we have like a general meeting where there's a number of announcements, and we usually have a speaker, and the speaker is not necessarily on a gay issue. It's just general issues that affect us as young adults, period. And after that, we divide into smaller groups, and there's, for example, a social group where you can just kind of talk about what's going on, or a women's group, which is about women's issues, and there's also an origins of addictions group. So it's kind of a little of both, you know. We address our issues just as young adults, and then we have gathering that affect our personal lives, and we get to talk about that.
Well, for someone listening now who would like to know more about Hatch, what number can they call? What address can they write? Tell us a little bit about that.
They can call 942-7002. They can call and speak to someone there, and if not, they can leave a message. And if it's safe to leave a number, they can. If they don't want to leave a number, that's fine. And when they talk to someone, we're not going to call them back unless they want us to, and everything's in the strictest of confidence. They can even write to our post office box, and that's 66574, and that's here in Houston, and the zip code 77266. Or it's most people will probably just find it easier to call. Again, that number is 942-7002.
Now, how are the meetings run? Are they run by adults? Or are they run by your peers?
They're run, I guess, a combination of both. Alma, you.
Well, I guess the best way to describe it is that there is it's kind of divided 50-50. We do have a president and everything else down from vice president. We have both a female and a male vice president, for example, and a male and female secretary and so forth. And that there is also a group of adult facilitators who are trained to do this. Some of them are trained professionals either in psychology or what have you. They're screened very carefully. And so everything we do is done in conjunction. We have a male and female youth and a male and female facilitator. You know, whether it be organizing an event, whether it be, you know, whatever, everything is done in combination, which I think is the best way.
What are your futures? What do you plan to do with the rest of your life? You think you're going to be involved in the community?
Yeah, when you get to be too old to be in Hatch.
Well, I don't know. Myself, I tend to, I guess, addicted to getting involved and doing things. And so that's probably what I'll be doing.
Any particular interest in the community, particular aspect? Politics, culture?
It would probably have to be politics. That tends to be where I dedicate a lot of my extra time to in the Hispanic community. And so this is probably what I'll be doing.
Speaking about reaching out to other portions of the community, it's very difficult. We don't always are able to reach out to the different people of color and women in the community. Is those issues being addressed at Hatch?
I think Hatch is a wonderful organization in the sense that there's a lot of people of color in Hatch, and it's very ethnically diverse and gender-wise as well. And I think pairing facilitators and Hatch officers with male and females is very good towards achieving what we're trying to get in terms of equality, in terms of gender and ethnicity.
Alma, what's your future?
Well, right now I'm a pre-med student at U of H and hopefully a future doctor. And as far as the community goes, Hatch has been a wonderful door for me into the community. I think that after Hatch, I don't think I'll ever be completely uninvolved with Hatch. I'll always have some ties to it because I owe Hatch a lot. You know, Hatch taught me that the words gay and the word pride can go together. And that's something that I'm going to be forever thankful and forever in debt. I know as being myself a Latin American woman who happens to be a lesbian, I know what it feels like to be in a minority. And I think that I'll always direct my attention to the Hispanic community. The lesbian community is very strong as it is. And the young community especially, I know what it is like to be alone, to be a teenager and not have absolutely anyone to talk to, and what a safe haven Hatch has become. And to see the relief, I mean, I get calls from young kids wanting information about Hatch and how relieved they sound to be able to have someone to talk to. And I don't think I'll ever want to not have a part in that.
I was making light and, of course, joking about when are you too old for Hatch. But truthfully, I'm very touched by both of you in the sense that your intention is to always take what you've gotten from being able to reach out to other young gay people and stay with it. As you grow older, you'll be able to look back and give back to the young people who are coming up. I was not gay when I was a teenager or even a young adult, but I still know what it's like to be that age and to have pain and confusion about all kinds of issues and to be able to invite people to come together and have fun and also learn and also be able to reach out to each other.
There's one question I want to ask Phil. Over the years, we've always realized one of the most important resources in our community is young people. And really the fact that, in a sense, they're being thrown away. I mean, we talked about the suicide rate being 3 times higher. But it was always sort of thought that if people who are adults got involved in talking to younger people, teenagers who are gay or lesbian, that we'd be recruiting? And how is that issue addressed in Hatch?
Well, I know myself that when I was growing, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I also stayed away from anyone who was under 20, because that is ingrained in us from the very beginning. But as I became involved in Hatch, I started thinking about, well, there were certainly adults involved in my Y teens for Methodist Church. There were people who were involved in Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. And I thought, well, my God, you know, why should we ignore the very youth who are coming forward? And there was an interesting thing in the book Queer in America, Sex. One of the last manifests that he speaks is that he says, yes, we do want your youth. We want your gay and lesbian youth. We want to be able to keep them from committing suicide. We want them to be productive people. We want them to be part of society and have a very good feeling and confidence in themselves. So,
I think Hatch can take can be proud of the fact that they're taking what I think is an aggressive role in informing young gays and lesbians that there's organizations to provide social support for them, because I think we're doing what a lot of society should be doing, and that's paying more attention to youth. And I think there's a general abandonment of youth in society.
You look at our schools. I mean, our schools are in terrible shape.
Our schools, and if you look at if you were to get all the children who met federal poverty level standards together, it would make the single largest metropolis in this country. And that's saying a lot for society in general. And I think that's one reason that I feel it's important for me, because I'm gay, to reach out to young gays and lesbians and say, we're here to help you and we're here for support when you need it.
You're listening to member-supported KPFT in Houston, 90.1 FM. This is Lesbian and Gay Voices. I'm Cindy Friedman with Jack Belinsky, and we're speaking to Rick and Alma, who are with Hatch, Houston Area Teen Coalition of Homosexuals. And let's have some information again, the phone numbers and post office box, that young people who are listening tonight who would like to know more information about how they can be, how they can reach out to other, to their peers.
The phone number is 942-7002. The post office box is 66574, and that's here in Houston. The zip code is 77266. And if they call the number, which is 942-7002, an adult will probably answer. And if they want to speak to someone their age, they can be referred to someone they can call if they would feel more comfortable doing that.
And when are the meetings?
The meetings are Fridays evenings at 7:30, and Sunday afternoons at 6:30.
And those meetings aren't published location, are they?
No, just to keep Hatch a safe haven, and to and basically for that purpose, we don't publicize the meetings. But if you call and you want to attend a meeting, we'll talk to you and screen you, and then let you know where the meetings are held.
Right, and it's on a bus stop, right? Bus location.
Right, it's easy access if you have access to Metro.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being here tonight, Alma, Ricky, and Phil. I thank you for all the hard work you're doing, and it's a wonderful organization.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.